Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inbound Unbound. I'm your host, Zachary Ware, the education consultant here at Protocol 80. Joining me today, I have my friend, my colleague, the one and only Zach Henn. Zach, how are you today?
Doing all right. Looking forward to the discussion we're going to have today.
Yeah, me too. So, Zach, before we jump into it, we've got a lot to talk today about SEO. I think you and I each have some pretty strong opinions about some different search platforms and some recent things that a few of the search giants have been implementing. But before we get into all that, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do here at P80? I'm kind of curious to know what the hell you do here at P80 myself. But yeah, take it away.
All right. For anybody listening at home, I'm Zach Enns. I work here at Protocol 80 as a solutions developer, which is largely a fancy term that means I do a lot of technical stuff.
What kind of technical stuff do you do as a solutions developer?
Largely HubSpot solutions, as we're a HubSpot partner. So a lot of what I do falls under that umbrella, but I also have my fingers in a lot of pies here in terms of SEO, digital ads, basically very, very T-shaped person.
Very T-shaped person. I love it. What is your center bit, the body of the T? I guess, can you tell us a little bit about that? What makes you tall?
Yeah, that'd be the HubSpot implementation. So a lot of the technical stuff there, including even programming related stuff, but automation, reporting, customizing platforms, onboarding, everything under that umbrella, really.
Without naming any client names, because I don't think anybody signed off on that yet, can you tell us just a little bit about maybe an interesting project that you've worked on in the past, something that's kind of stuck with you, maybe something that you've really enjoyed working on?
I really like the programming related stuff. So anything where I have to get under the hood and code stuff myself is something that I especially enjoy. One of my favorite projects that I worked on for that is some custom code actions in a HubSpot workflow. So essentially, there are some limitations to what the platform can do, but they have the ability to supplement that using JavaScript or Python. So I was able to kind of use that to automate some of the processes for one of the clients so that when they have certain purchase orders that come through, we're able to generate additional information and records on top of that for their bookkeeping. And it's completely hands-off on their end. The user side, it's, you know, magic to them. Then it doesn't really matter what's happening under the hood, but I get to dictate what that is.
Honestly, it's magic to me too. Thank God we have you and I don't have to try to fuss myself through that. Yeah, that sounds terrible. Cool. Well, let's dive in with some of our SEO topics today. So, Zach, I'm going to throw a fastball at you to start things off. All right.
All right.
How do we feel about Google as a company broadly? Sure. But more so just about the search engine itself.
Okay. Yeah. Those might be two different answers.
Yeah, I think they might be.
I would say the search engine, I have very mixed feelings. I would say not a whole lot of like, oh, it's all right. It's just very like, okay, this is pretty bad, but also this is pretty good feeling. So what it's good at is things like, I mean, it's still the king of search engines. Like, you use other platforms and they might have a leg up in certain aspects, but collectively, overall, they're still very much at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, there's a reason that that whole that JFGI thing is around, right? Just freaking Google it. I mean, it's a verb in and of itself. They're the search giants.
Yeah, I bet if I went on like Webster's.com, I'd probably Google it first, you know. But I bet there's an entry for it.
I think so, yeah.
But then, you know, the inverse of that are just kind of, I guess, some of the direction that they've gone, which I feel like you and I probably have a lot more involved opinions about that than maybe the average user would, just because of how we use it compared to somebody just trying to get like recipes or whatever somebody might use Google for.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point to make when you're in the weeds of it, like you and I have been for years and years at this point. I think we've adopted a different way to use it, and we look at search engines just a little bit differently than like a normal person who's never worked in digital advertising or digital marketing might. So let's try to maybe split that lens. Let's talk about it from a consumer standpoint and then from a search expert standpoint. So from a consumer standpoint, how do you think most people are going to feel about Google, especially a lot of the recent changes that they brought about, a lot of the AI-driven results directly in search? Do you think those are going to be net positive for users and net negative long term? Let's hear what you think.
I think on the user side, I've I've definitely heard people like my parents, you know, that you might not expect to be like power users of Google, starting to have some relatively negative input towards it. And I think that's not AI specific. I think it's more just the usability and some of the algorithm changes and how that's affected search results. In terms of the AI functionality, I feel like there's kind of a pretty broadly positive perspective on that from the general public, just because it's a very powerful technology. And even if it's not, I mean, I've been seeing all the memes on Facebook where people are posting stuff and it's getting horrifyingly bad results. But I mean, I don't remember who said it, but I heard this phrase frequently that AI is the worst it's ever going to be.
Who's just about to say that? Yeah. Yeah. When I use it too, I try to think about it in two different ways. Obviously, as a search expert, I've been doing this for more than half a decade at this point. I can more or less find what I want in Google search, even with all the different changes, with all the different features that they've been bringing above the fold, and sorting myself through all the different ads that they've been introducing. I can more or less find what I want in very little time. But then I try to think about it from like a standard consumer standpoint too. And, you know, I got to say, I think I'm a huge fan in that sense of a lot of the AI generated results because of exactly what you said. This is the worst it will ever be again. And honestly, I've had quite a few really positive answers. I remember the first time on mobile, I got an AI generated result. I was troubleshooting something that was going on with my modem and my router at my house, and it solved my problem immediately. I didn't have to sort through, you know, a laundry list of Reddit posts. I didn't have to go through like Tom's Hardware or anything else like that, trying to figure out just what the hell was going on. It gave me a very clear and concise answer. I was able to diagnose the issue and rectify it in a matter of minutes rather than a matter of hours. Very, very, very cool. Now, a lot of the other changes that Google has been breaking, just basically shaking up search, trying to determine what spam is, what unhelpful content is, and trying to remove those from search, I'm a little unsure of, and I guess time will tell. We're just on the other side of the March algorithm update that took like, 6 weeks to roll out. And I think we're already preparing for another big one here in the next month or so to continue building on that. But, you know, hopefully they continue to improve things from a consumer standpoint. I'm a big fan of some of the things that they've been doing. I don't think they've been doing anything nefariously. Maybe you might, you know, feel a little bit different about that as he's smiling. Nefarious in the sense that they're intentionally screwing up search. I think everything they do is with the best intentions of providing the best results to Google users, but, you know, sometimes they just miss the mark.
Yeah, and I would say, despite the, you know, the smirk, I would agree with that assessment. Like, they're not going to want, they don't want people to have a reason to look for alternatives. They ultimately want the service to work as people need it, and these algorithm updates are intended to move closer to that goal and maintain their current market dominance.
Yeah,
which is largely based on people being able to find what they're searching for.
Yep. And gosh, I think that we're going to quickly, we'll circle back around to this next one. Yeah, this next one, actually. Okay. I think this is a point of discussion later on when we talk about where we foresee search going, not just for Google, but for the market as a whole. More on that later. But you mentioned Google doesn't want users to be necessarily forced into using other search engines just to find their own answers to their queries, right? But what we've been seeing is the past couple of months, and especially trending over the past year or two, is Google's market dominance beginning to slip. Their market cap, their ownership of the entire search real estate is starting to decline, notably in the US. So let's talk about some other search engines. Have you, tried to broaden your horizons? Have you checked out any other search engines? If so, what have you really liked? What have you hated? And what's just kind of left a sour taste in your mouth?
Definitely. I'm definitely expecting Ask Jeeves to dominate.
Ask Jeeves. Yeah. Ask.com. I can't wait for their surgeons.
No, but I feel like in my daily life, I still use Google for things where there's a sense of urgency or I don't really want to deal with irrelevant information.
Mm-hmm.
I think Google still got the best results of that. There are certain ones, I think, like, what was it, like Startpage, that essentially filters Google results into their search engine, so like it should still be relevant, but that's still like an abstraction layer that's not worth it for me at the moment. But then things like, obviously, that like DuckDuckGo is one of the big ones because of the privacy angle.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, I think
kind of an asterisk next to that, though, since they partner with Microsoft.
What's that?
Since they partner with Microsoft to power some of the searches and their ads.
Yeah, I mean, there's still the element. I mean, kind of look at like with a VPN where because that layer exists in between Microsoft analytics and stuff, that's still kind of an important distinction to make. Like, it's not like you're going directly into Windows.
Yeah, there's a little bit of obfuscation there. Yeah.
But I honestly, Yandex is another one, which I'm not going to use that for general browsing.
Have you ever actually used Yandex?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, wow.
And a big part of that is because of Google's deficiencies with image search. Especially because they're like, if you're trying to do a reverse image search, for example, like they have like the Google Lens interface that they're
sure
routing you through now, whereas previously it was a little bit more straightforward, and I have seen a lot worse results using that. So if especially like when it comes to reverse image searches, whereas
Yandex,
I've seen a lot more positive results from using it. Like if I'm, and I'll still go to Google first. For image search,
gotta check Google first, and then branch out
as a platform. I'm not completely sold on Yandex either, but like the results have been surprising, I would say.
So, if you had to rank alternative search engines that you've used in order of best to worst, maybe top three, top five, however you want to do it, what would you say some of your favorite alternatives are? Just broadly speaking,
I would say DuckDuckGo. Speaking very broadly,
is
my go-to at the moment.
And for what reasons? Better search results, better privacy?
Privacy, overwhelmingly. But I think that I'm kind of in a unique position where that is a huge priority for me.
Sure.
If I was to rank the different factors. And this is, speaking specifically alternatives, if we're ranking next to Google, I would say Google probably still wins out with a lot of stuff. Just try to put those layers of abstraction, as many as possible, in between me and those searches.
Okay, that's fair.
But in terms of the platform itself, like they have their mission statement. They're very transparent, and as you've alluded to, like the search results aren't always impeccable,
right?
Which is unfortunate. But
sometimes they're not even remotely impeccable.
Yeah. Well, in terms of my priorities, though, like that. Is a very important factor for me, so they went out there.
Okay,
like you look at some of the other ones, like Yandex. First of all, like it's based in Russia, which doesn't exactly have the best track record.
Yeah, there's a kind of crimson flag right there. Yeah,
it's not ideal.
So they've got good image searches. Damn it!
Yeah. But whatever they're doing, I guess Google could probably just set the clock back on that, like 10 years, and it'd meet my needs, I would say.
What about number two?
Number two, it's not going to be Bing.
It's not going to be Bing?
It's not that Bing is deficient, but they're kind of in that same position of like if I'm looking at some of my priorities, like privacy, they have just as bad of a track record as Google, and largely, I wouldn't say like their search results are bad. Like, I would say they're just kind of in the same boat, so it would feel like a lateral move going from Google to Bing.
I used Bing earlier this year, and I had a great experience. There was a period of time where I would prefer Bing results over Google results. Sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
Oh, I would actually love to unpack that.
Oh, we're going to unpack it here in just a minute.
I think I haven't been I definitely haven't been an active, like, Binger.
Binger.
There isn't a niche there, like, whereas DuckDuckGo I use. I mean, I use that on my phone as my primary search engine, and I'll open another. I have Google set as my incognito window, search engine.
Sure.
So if I do need to get outside my precious DuckDuckGo ecosystem, I have that option still. But that's because relevance is important with the Google search engine, and then DuckDuckGo has privacy, but Bing hasn't really found its niche for me, and I haven't had a reason to jump into it. So, I would say since they've introduced some of their AI features, I haven't really gotten a ton of experience with it, so it might be very different. And conversely, I would say over the last couple of years, my general opinion of like even Google search results in a lot of cases have been, I don't want to say it's getting worse, but in my head, it feels like
it's getting worse.
In some cases, like I feel like half of my searches on Google have to end in Reddit to find an answer for certain things now. So you know, Bing might be up there. I might have to make the switch.
Does Bing take number three?
I don't know not if I'm not using it actively.
Okay.
Hard to like ballpark. Maybe Bing, because I have used it for certain searches if I'm not getting the results that I see with Google, but it's not something that I go to sequentially like that. Like I've used Star Page as an alternative. What was it?
Have you used Braves?
I have. It's kind of in that DuckDuckGo territory where I have not had great results consistently with the search results, so I
don't really stick. Same here.
And then Yandex has like, you know, it's somewhere in the ranking, but it has that big asterisk next to it where like literally just image search.
That's it.
Use the Tor browser. You're gonna use it.
That's
wash your hands afterwards.
Let's see, if I was ranking my top three alternative search engines, I want to give DuckDuckGo that number one spot, but I used it exclusively for a month earlier this year. I did a little challenge for myself to see if I could, you know, start to de-Google my life just a little bit more. And I got to say, like, within the first 48 hours, I felt like serious withdrawal symptoms whenever I was making a search online, because I was like, DuckDuckGo is telling me this one thing, but what's Google going to tell me about this, right? And I'll admit, I cheated a couple times. I would make the same search in both DuckDuckGo and Google if I thought DuckDuckGo might be hiding the good stuff from me. And about 50% of the time, I got a better result. I found my answer quicker on Google, which was disheartening because I really wanted DuckDuckGo to be my primary browser. I love the privacy aspect of it, even though I know a lot of searches and the ads are powered by Microsoft. That's fine, whatever. There's that obfuscation layer like we were talking about earlier. But I like the privacy practice. I think as consumers, our lives are being, you know, deprivatized, and I want to retain a little bit of that privacy. It's
100%.
But I just can't. I can't. The search results just aren't there. And when I'm searching for something, I typically need an answer right then. I think you might be in the same boat, especially here at work, when we need to, you know, dig into something, figure out what the hell's going on, or find a quick answer. We don't have time to be reading through, you know, 12 different blogs that are showing to figure out what the heck is going on. But instead, we need the answer front and center, link number one, or featured snippet, or now the AI-driven answers. So, DuckDuckGo, I'll love you forever. I'll keep using you, sometimes happily, sometimes not, but you're not going to get the number one spot. I'm going to have to say, as an alternative to Google, I'm going to give it to Bing.
All right.
I used Bing earlier on this year, quite a bit last year, and the results were fantastic. I don't like necessarily how cluttered and funky the UI is. It just feels very Microsofty. I don't know how better to describe it. It feels like I'm using Windows 8 in a search browser.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Microsoft Bing, alternative number one for me. Good results, loads quickly. Obviously, it loads quickly. It's a free search browser. Good results. I'm not giving the data to Google, but then again, I'm still giving all my data to Microsoft, but whatever. Number two, I'll give DuckDuckGo number two just because I used them for a month earlier. There were times where I would really have to dig into the search results to find the answer to what I was looking for. It felt like I was browsing Google back in 2012, like I was back in high school again, trying to find answers for an essay that I was writing for AP English or something. If they could, you know, maybe bring the UI and maybe some AI search results that are actually giving relevant answers to the front stage, maybe, I don't know, switch up their ranking algorithm a little bit, get some better results up there, then I could daily drive it happily, but it's just not there yet for me. And number three, I'm going to give it to Ecosia, just because I like that they plant trees. Yeah, front and center on their page, ecosia.org, you can see just how many trees they planted. I think it's .org. I'm going to be really embarrassed if it's not.
Let's see.
Zach's pulling it up for us. Oh, is it .com? That's a little head shake.
Well, I misspelled it. That's the problem. Yep, it's .org.
Nice. Ecosia.org. If you haven't used it, check it out. It's, I believe, powered by Microsoft as well. But what they do is for every search, they plant a tree. Maybe it's for every search, for every number of searches, they plant a tree. So to date, they've planted 208,716,457 trees worldwide. They're very transparent about what they do, very eco-friendly, very eco-facing, or eco-forward. Great search browser. Very similar results to Bing in my experience, at least in years past. I haven't used them yet this year, honestly, and now we're in June. Maybe for my next search challenge, I'll do a month of just Ecosia, but that might be a little hit or miss with the results. We'll see. Love Ecosia. Been using them for years on and off. I'd like to see them do a little bit better, too. Zach, anything to add to any of the search engines that we've talked about so far? If not, I want to shit on DuckDuckGo for a little bit.
Oh, I mean, you're more than happy to do that. I did want to give them a little small amount of props, not just
DuckDuckGo or Ecosia?
DuckDuckGo. I have not used Ecosia like at all.
So, okay.
Except just now for that demonstration. And I mean, the results don't look super off-putting or anything. Like, it just looks like I would expect on Google. But I think when it comes to like more technical searches, that'll be the test.
Yeah.
That one was a local search. I did.
Maybe we can do gave me a nice idea. Maybe we can do like an agency-wide test for it. Everyone use Ecosia or DuckDuckGo or some other search engine collectively as an agency. We dedicate every search for a week to that. And then we determine a way to quantify our results.
I think it'd be good to see like what searches we're doing too, because if we are...
No one needs results, to know that I'm searching for how to spell like hippopotamus or something.
I mean, more relevant ones where, like, you would have to click into a website after that. I could see that being useful, especially like if we are in a situation where we do a Google search and it's not giving us the results we want, and then we see how that search compares on other engines, I think that would be a really interesting data as well.
Yeah, I agree.
The small amount of props I do want to give to DuckDuckGo, I have been bumping up against Google's current implementation every now and then for a little bit more, like, I guess, in-depth searching, like, where, like, some of those horrifying days where you have to go to the second page of search results.
Yeah.
Like, oh. And occasionally, like, I'll just jump on another search engine, and sometimes DuckDuckGo will get it.
Are those, like, technical searches that you're doing, or high level?
I guess both in some cases. Like, the technical searches are usually something really specific, where I think because of how Google is organized, like, it's trying to pull from the keywords, and, you know, like, you type in like how to repair a red bike, and then Google starts showing you stuff for like red bikes.
Hey, you want
to
buy a red bike?
Yeah, like that.
You said you
want
to buy a red bike?
Yeah.
Here's a red bike. You can buy it. It's only $89.
So like the first ones might be like, oh, here's how to repair a red motorcycle or something, like, where it could in theory still be relevant, but not exactly what I'm looking for. And then, you know, I'll try DuckDuckGo, and then, you know, it's not the first result. You know, I'm not going to give them so much props here, but it might be like the second or the third. Like, it'll be relevant enough that I won't have to like filter through like shopping information and stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
I've seen even one of the recommendations that I saw online was you can add a query to the end of the URL to only show search results within a certain time frame. So if you wanted to add search results before, for example, the advent of AI, it would exclude, for example, you know, blogs that may have been spun up after that point.
Oh, interesting.
Don't have the most relevant information.
Is that like the after colon 2019 thing?
It's something to that effect. I think the one that I was using most recently was like a date range, and then I just put like, you know, 115 BC, and then up to, I don't know, 2017 or something like that.
For anyone not too familiar with search operators, you know, to see it, but Google a list of search operators for platforms like Google
or DuckDuckGo.
Or DuckDuckGo. And you can be a Google or DuckDuckGo power user in no time. One of the things that I use very frequently is something that Zach is talking about too, at least broadly, is that that date operator too, where you can type in your query in the Google search, DuckDuckGo, whatever it is, and then type after colon and then enter a date, and it'll filter out results to only show you results after that specific date. So, like, for example, yesterday I was trying to figure out something in HubSpot related to sequence send limits. And I kept getting results from like 2016, 2019, and now in 2024. Obviously, I'm not going to trust a result from 2016 from a blog post or a community post with something that's going to be updated as frequently as HubSpot updates their products and offerings. So, you know, search parameters to the rescue, I was able to filter everything out into only results after 2023. And lo and behold, it really narrowed the scope of what I got, and I didn't get an answer. So
that's a book.
Yeah, kind of a bummer way to end that, but, you know, whatever. It works in other cases, yeah. I don't think that we can talk about search engines without talking about AI, without talking about ChatGPT. So I guess if you had to add a fourth or fifth item to your list, do you think a platform like Bard, like ChatGPT or Claude, I guess I haven't used Claude too much, would be in the top 5, top 10, like search alternatives for you?
Not yet. Yeah.
Because
I do see a direction. And this is also how people are using ChatGPT. Like,
so I use ChatGPT today.
That's not slowing down. That is going to be a thing where people refer to AI platforms for what they would otherwise use a search engine for. I think for me, the reason is I don't feel that the technology is where I want it to be something that I rely on. Even if it's something where it's infrequent, like it does still misunderstand stuff. It does, and like it's an AI tool. It doesn't have comprehension.
Yeah, Google search doesn't have comprehension.
Right. But Google search is based on articles written by generally people that do have some level of comprehension, whereas the AI is trained on that and can tend to make mistakes. So like it would be kind of comparing like the AI output with maybe like a featured snippet, which I would say technologically it's obviously very different, but in terms of...
You're asking the platform to basically interpret it, yeah, and tell you its interpretation rather than just provide the original resource.
Yeah. So okay, that's kind of the distinction for me, because like there's still that level of I have to take another step to, you know, go on that blog, make sure that it's, you know, what I'm looking for, and then finding the information I need. Whereas the AI, they're trying to do their best to either summarize or condense it in a way that is digestible for the end user. And that is where some of the issues lie in that current implementation. And I think it's definitely going to get there a lot faster than people think. But right now, it's not something where I have the privilege of being able to rely on it if it's still making mistakes like it is.
See, I'm in the opposite boat. I use ChatGPT liberally to answer my queries, especially top of funnel stuff. So broad awareness things, not super technical. So I guess maybe even the nature of our two positions, the way that we think, you're obviously much more technical than I am. You're going to need the documentation, the direct resources, front and center, whereas me, I'm just going to trust whatever ChatGPT spits out of me wholeheartedly for more high level things. I guess if it gets more technical, more bottom of funnel, I'm going to be researching elsewhere too, but not because I didn't go to ChatGPT first, but more so to corroborate what ChatGPT told me. And if I can find a few facts or figures that start to corroborate what GPT told me, then I'll just go with that.
Yeah, even internally, like how we're utilizing API or AI tools, there's still that level of you need a human to fact check just to make sure. Like I'm not going to, even at the point where I start using something like ChatGPT or AI tools for research purposes or whatever, just general searching. Like I'm not going to take it completely at face value and then go into a client meeting and be like, hey, I know all about, you know, metal injection molding and I learned it from ChatGPT.
Like, yeah.
Well, like there's definitely going to be some topics where it's going to be imperative to do follow-up validation.
Sure.
But there's going to be a line where it's doing it less and less, and then it becomes more and more useful to me as a tool for those needs.
If you had to take the wildest guess, how long do you think it is until a tool like ChatGPT is going to get to that point?
Given their current trajectory, I would say, less than 5 years, honestly.
Less than 5 years.
Something like DALL-E, for example, like you've seen it go from like blobs.
Seen the Will Smith eating a bowl of spaghetti video.
And actually, I did see that comparison this morning. It's getting crazy.
Yeah.
The technology, the implementation is going to be different for like image generation versus text generation and trying to comprehend that form. I mean, again, it's not comprehension, but it's like it's close enough that functionally it's what we're expecting out of it. So it's not going to be one-to-one comparison, but given the development that's going into it and how rapidly it's improving, I don't think it's that far off.
So pivoting back to Google for a second, how would you feel about having an absolutely perfect search engine, one that gives you the exact result that you need every single time at the expense of your privacy, your data privacy? I mean, they've got a shitload of data on you already. What's a little bit more? How do you feel about that? If you could have every result custom tailored to you.
It's still not worth it for me.
Okay.
The privacy angle is extremely important. And okay. It's also not even just specifically trusting Google with it. I don't know what they're doing with that data. There's no level of transparency there. So all I know is that data is outgoing, and then I don't know what happens to it.
That's fair.
Google can be using it internally and securely, you know, using it to optimize their information. They could be selling it to third-party companies that I did not, you know, knowingly consent to providing my information.
It's all in the terms of service, man. You got to read that. Have ChatGPT summarize it for you.
Well, like the privacy angle, and to, you know, paraphrase what you were saying previously, like we're increasingly in an age where that privacy is getting harder and harder and harder to achieve for individuals. So I don't think it's worth a trade-off, especially when we do have alternatives that, even if it's not completely the perfect search engine, it's not exactly where I want it to be. It is close enough and to the point where it's still usable.
Sure.
Like I don't need it to be 100% perfect all the time at the expense of the things that I value.
We've got a few folks here on the team who actually feel the complete opposite. They, you know, you're going to get served ads. You're going to give your data away one way or the other, whether you're using private browsers or browsers, incognito, whatever, whether you're using Windows, any Linux distribution, Mac OS, whatever. These companies are going to get your data one way or the other. So the general consensus among them here at the agency is, hey, if they're going to have my data, you know, do something productive with it. Tailor the results to me. Give me ads that are relevant to me. You're going to serve me that crap anyway. May as well, you know, make it worthwhile. So it's interesting to hear the differing viewpoints on that kind of stuff. I'm, I guess, a little more in your boat. I like some of the custom tailored results. When I'm signed into my Chrome profile, things can get a little bit more tailored to me over time. But at the same time, I want that level of privacy. I don't want, you know, my stuff being traded hands 50 times over, which I know it is right now anyway, but there are like too much that we can do about that. So how can, you know, a company like Google, Bing, Yandex, if you want to keep using Yandex, how can these companies fix search in general? What can they do to create a better browser,
a
better search experience?
As broadly, is this including things like privacy, or is this including?
This is the perfect browser in your mind, Zach. What can a company do? Microsoft is sitting down with you as a consultant. They say, Zach Enns, we need your experience. Make the perfect browser for us. Outline it.
Okay, go. This would be a quick way to get fired from there. privacy is extremely important to me.
Yep, you're right.
So a lot of, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I personally use a lot of FOSS tools.
What is FOSS for the users not familiar with?
Free open source software. Was it free beer? Not as in, I don't remember the exact phrase, but like it doesn't necessarily mean that it's got to be, you know, completely not financially supported.
Right.
It generally means that you can audit source code if you want.
Yep.
Like it's open, it's completely transparent. In my personal life, almost my entire tech stack is using free open source software.
Okay.
So I'm...
Must kill you working at an agency that's a Google Ads partner and a HubSpot partner.
Well, they don't have the personal part of it.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Here in their companies. And even if they have some of it, like I'm doing as much as I can to try to mitigate it as far as an individual user can do it. But basically, the issue with those tools is always coming down to like usability, because the ones generating money for the development and optimization are going to be the big tools. However, there are some that are kind of in that, I guess they're kind of in a territory in between the two, where they're still operating as businesses. They still have these, you know, roadmaps and features that they're putting out, but they still have privacy respecting functionality, things like I like Proton Mail. I love their platform. They have Proton Drive now, Proton Calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers a lot of what I would get out of the Google ecosystem. Once they roll out Proton Docs, that's what I'm going to be.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do there.
And they're very transparent about what they do. They're very privacy respecting, but they still get all the same functionality in terms of those features.
Is that a free software to use or is it paid?
Yeah, it's free. I pay them because there's additional features that you can get through their subscription.
Very cool.
And I definitely want to support platforms that are doing that. But one of the things I've seen is companies that are operating in that kind of space, a lot of times will have opt-in functionality that it may give you additional features, it may not, where you can provide some of your data that would otherwise be kept private, and then they can utilize that the way that you know other companies would for optimizing the platform, LinkedIn. And they're very transparent about what they're doing. So if this is something where Microsoft, they're developing Bing, and they're like, hey, we want to defeat Google, we want to, you know, build our platform exactly how you want it. If it's something where the way their business operates requires that data, they need some level of transparency. It needs to be opt-in, and that's kind of the kicker for me. Like, you need to be able to have some level of privacy where you're not going to see in the news like, oh, turns out Google was tracking you in an incognito mode. Like what was it? Like,
well, isn't that what we just saw? Yeah.
Literally. So like, oops. Like people think that there's a level of privacy there. There's got to be actual privacy as an option, even if it's something where you have to opt into the privacy. It wouldn't be ideal. I would prefer you opt in.
Like an organ donor. Privacy. Yeah.
I am sympathetic to, like, I guess the business side a little bit. Like, if I'm trying to perceive this from their perspective, that is an important factor for me. That is kind of a non-starter, so that would be kind of my main focus.
Okay.
And then the rest of it would just be trying to beat Google, like, I'd say, like, 6 years ago.
Trying to beat Google 6 years ago, okay. Yeah. 2018 Google.
Yeah, or maybe 2018 is the, you know, like, the days of yore when the search results were abundant. And
the pre-messy Google that we have right now.
I mean, like there was an era where I was getting a lot more relevant results, though. And I don't know if it's like, you know, AI, it might not be AI, but there's a lot of like log spam and stuff where it's interfering with the results. And I think maybe some of the algorithm updates aren't optimized for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that they could solve over time. But I think that the percentage of relevant and accurate results have dwindled on the Google side. So if that's something where Microsoft can come in and start eating their lunch, I fully support that. And that's kind of the two prongs for me, is just the privacy and transparency angle, and then providing relevant results.
Love that. I'm kind of in the same boat with this one too. So if I had to do like organize and create my own perfect browser, honestly, I see it being likely a pay-to-use browser, and I hate to say that because everything in life is subscription-based now, but, you know, maybe there's some free tier of this magical, mystical, fake browser. I guess it's, you know, my own fantasy. So yes, now there is a free tier of it where, you know, there's a very clear AI integration with it somehow, whether it's some ChatGPT integration or alternatives where it attempts to answer your specific high-level query in search, but also then provides you with these organic peer-backed links using a lot of authority metrics like time of page engagement metrics like Google already uses, but putting an extra emphasis on social stake metrics. So see how engaged they are in other social platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, X, whatever it is. Time that back into their company profiles to, you know, improve rankings that way. And then, you know, having that potentially free tier where, yeah, a little bit of your data gets sold, whatever. We're going to build a custom profile on you and try to tailor it for you. Or having a paid tier at just a couple bucks a month where the data isn't necessarily collected and sold, because of course from a business perspective, they've got to, you know, stay in business, can't have anything for free. And then having access then to all the tools like we enjoy now through G Suite, Docs, Drive, all that fun stuff. So yeah, I see it being kind of a hybrid approach. I want the AI in there. I want them to build a profile about me because I want the custom search results. I want them to tailor results for my needs. I don't want just...
Yeah, and I don't think
random crap.
I don't think your approach here is exclusive to what I was describing either. Like when I talk about like data privacy, it comes down to how the company is using that outside of what I can control. So if it's something where you build a profile because you want more relevant results and you have that as a choice, that completely fits with that. Essentially, like that data ownership, Like, you, as long as there's a way to nuke it if I want, as long as I know exactly why that data is being used.
Yeah, then we can kind of figure it out. I'll tell you who does a really good job of building a profile on you is ChatGPT. So you weren't here yesterday, so I had to take a lunch walk all by my lonesome. But what I did was I popped my AirPods and I opened up ChatGPT on my phone and I chatted with ChatGPT. And one of the things that I asked it, as lonely as that sounds, is, build a buyer persona based on me and then read it to me. And I use my own personal ChatGPT all the time. That's what I was chatting with yesterday, with the new 4.0 update. It's crazy how realistic it is.
Tell them I said hi.
I'll tell chat you said hi. And I use it for just high-level searches, like, how do I do this specific thing? I'm having this specific issue with my internet. You know, how do I fix the brakes on my car? Stuff like that. And it compiled this incredibly comprehensive persona that I'd say is 85 to 90% accurate to me, with a lot of guesswork made in it about things that I never told it. And I was kind of blown away. It's like, damn, no wonder you're able to give me such great recommendations whenever I have a question, whenever I'm looking for info on something, because you've got this tremendously robust profile about me that you can leverage to customize your specific answers. I was just absolutely blown away. You have a ChatGPT here at work, right? See what it knows about you. Ask it. So I think we
expected it in some aspects.
It's kind of creepy, but creepy in a really cool way. The techie inside of me is like giddy, like, oh shit, this is so awesome. But then the consumer part of me is thinking, oh shit, this is not awesome. So yeah. I guess we'll see what the robot uprising brings. And hopefully I've said please and thank you enough times that I'm spared from any issues that may arise.
I'll have to buy some Skynet stock.
Skynet stock, yeah. So we've got one last thing here in the docket to discuss today, Zach. Tell me, where do you think search is going to be here in a few years?
I think it's largely going to be AI driven in many cases. So I think in a perfect world, Google would love it if you never had to leave their platform. Those pesky links,
yeah.
And they've been making a lot of moves to do that with, like, things like featured snippets and all of the additional functionality where, you don't have to click into anybody's website to get the information you need. However, the trade-off, obviously, like with platforms like Google Ads, that's a huge moneymaker for them.
Yeah, couple grand a year on that, I think.
Yeah, like that's potentially like hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars for them, yeah.
So it would heavily devalue that if they made it disincentivize people from clicking through to web pages universally. So I don't think that they're going to fully go that way, but I think they're really going to expand on their AI functionality.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want people to rely on, like they rely on ChatGPT for things and what they're going to rely on it for in the future.
Yep. I think we're going to become overly reliant on those kind of AI answers. No one's going to want to search for anything. I didn't want to search on DuckDuckGo, and damn, I've been a Google user for a long time.
So the trade-off there is, one, they can't devalue their ad platform unless suddenly their AI platform is making so much money. The other side of that is the content is what teaches the AI. So if that becomes a useless part of the equation where, people, like SEO is significantly impacted to the point where it makes it harder to train the AI, then it's going to be a net negative for the user, which is bad for Google using that implementation anyway. So it's there's going to be some level of balance here. I think we're very quickly going to start seeing ads in the AI tools too.
Yep.
There's not a question in my mind there. So that's another angle that they could utilize. But at the very least,
Performance Max ads are starting to leverage AI now too. Not just for the ad builds and targeting, but for a lot of the creative.
I think about that more in the sense of like you go into ChatGPT
and you get an ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to see it.
But I mean, ads and there's part. a lot of ways to streamline the ad build process too, like even like kind of from our perspective, not using Google search, but trying to build these out. I definitely think the creatives that it generates aren't exactly what I'm looking for just yet.
Yeah,
but again, yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, it is the effort key right there.
Yeah, the technology is definitely going to get better. It's linear. It's always going to trend in the direction of getting better. And it's going to be especially useful. I mean, even like I keep going back to like featured snippets and stuff like that. Having AI powered results in the search engine, like instead of featured snippets and even shopping results. Like, I think that's going to be very valuable both for users and Google in terms of optimizing, because they can leverage the AI technology to provide better results. So I definitely see that being a core pillar for future search engines.
Yep, completely agree. And I don't think AI is going to go anywhere. I think it's farcical to say that it would. So you're going to hear it from me first. Here's my prediction for where we're going to be within 5 years in Google search, and probably to a lesser degree, Microsoft search, what the hell, and Bing search. So I think that we're going to be entering the era of fully personalized search results, at least top of page search results and ads. I expect to see AI generated videos answering search queries, doing trainings, in addition to the AI generated text. And of course, for any visually impaired folks, AI generated audio as well, since we're already starting to see that from a lot of different companies, HubSpot included. With a lot of their new content hub tools. I think that we're going to see that start to take over in other platforms like ChatGPT as well, Bard, obviously for Google, just as we start increasing the number of users using these platforms, users who wants to read, right? There's a whole reason that YouTube is as big as it is. We like videos. We're going to start seeing AI-generated videos and search results in ads and everywhere else that are going to be custom tailored almost in real time within 5 years. To exactly what we're looking for. That's my prediction. We'll see if I'm right or wrong, but I got a strong feeling that I'm right.
I would not be surprised remotely. We're definitely trending towards we have AI tools, have people getting brain chips and stuff. We're I'd say 15 years away from a cyberpunk era.
Yeah. Robots, so cool.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, well, look, it's Sora right now for ChatGPT, right? The video gen program where you can just enter a quick prompt and it creates a 60-second stunning, nearly lifelike video. Imagine Google, the massive data powerhouse that is, leveraging the same technology, but better 5 years from now. It's going to be wild.
I definitely can see them going down that route, but I think what's going to be an important part of that, they're probably going to have some kind of, mascot or face for those results, is especially informative information. The video's got to be it's not going to be T-Pain telling you.
What if you can upload a picture of your own face and it's then you teaching you? Also, I would love T-Pain to teach me stuff.
I would too, but I don't know if they have the rights at that point. So I imagine that, what was it,
Sam from Samsung, the little anime character. Yeah,
I can imagine them doing something like that. Yeah, they have definitely not a clippy.
I hope it's a medieval bard for Bard.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Loot and everything. Like a little leather cap. Oh, it'd be so cool.
I mean, it's just got a lot of branding opportunities to sell merch with instead of just the Google logo, can have their mask
on. Can have a little loot on the front of it.
Just the precursor to the Blade Runner era where you have the holograms and your Alexa just lighting up your room with a giant or AI driven assistant telling you
how to spell hippopotamus.
Yeah.
All right. That's all the time that we've got for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Zach Ware. Joining me today has been my friend, my colleague, the one and only Zach Hens. Join us next time. We're going to be meeting with a couple other colleagues. We've got Chris Michelle on the docket. We've got Ryan Lotherich. We've got a lot of great content, related content coming up. If you've ever, wondered about the world of inbound content writing, we've got some experts. Thank you so much for your time. Hope you have a great day.